Welcome back to our series, Run to Win. Last week, we talked about the idea that the Bible tells us that life is likened to running a race. And we said if we're going to run the race of life, we might as well run to win. That's where we get the title for this series. You see, because we all want to win at something. Let's be honest with ourselves. We all want to win, don't we? Maybe it's the beginning of a new year, we're still in January, and maybe you made some fitness goals for yourself that you either want to be more active or lose weight or a combination, and you want to win at that, or maybe you've set some goals this year for your career, and you want to win at that, or you've set some financial goals that maybe you want to save. Maybe after being locked in for so long, you can't wait to get to a nice big trip, and you figure you have a year or two to save towards, so you have a financial goal. Maybe you have a relationship goal. Maybe you want your marriage to be stronger. Maybe you want to get married in the near future, whatever your goals are, or even educational goals. Some of you are saying, well, this is a time to go back to school with all this uncertainty and upgrade and gain and win the goal of education. So I want to remind you of the words we read last week that the Apostle Paul wrote. And this is where he teaches us and speaks to us about running the race. These are verses that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. It says this. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. There it is. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with the purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I love that. I run with purpose. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. We said last week that running to win looks like running towards God. To win spiritually, the key is to make God the center and the priority of our lives. So this week I want you to catch this phrase, running to win requires running to prayer. Prayer is simply just talking with God. It's, in its purest form, it's communication. It's talking to God and allowing God to talk back to you. It's sharing your heart with God and letting God speak back into your heart. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Isn't that interesting that Jesus tells us that prayer is personal? It's something that's going to happen between you and God, and it's personal to the two of you. Jesus also said these words in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Many of you recognize those words. They are the beginning of what we call the Lord's Prayer. They're an example for us to learn how we can come to God. And notice this, in both those verses, Jesus told us when we pray. He didn't say if you pray. He didn't say occasionally. He said, when you pray, as if it's an automatic, everyday, normal experience. Luke 5:16, we're told this about Jesus. We're told, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You see, Jesus is our example. Jesus withdrew to pray. He, no matter how busy his schedule was, no matter how many thousands of people were in the multitude, or if he was just with a handful of disciples, he would often withdraw and pray and go to be on his own. If you've been with us at the Highway Building over the last few years, you'll be familiar with this phrase, pray first. Pray first in every situation. We say that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. And so we've been talking about that for the last few years. Pray first. And when you come back to the building, if you would, you'll find that we have a big banner that says Pray First hanging in our auditorium. I want to share with you a story out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, but I want to give you some background to this story before we look at it. Just some simple verses. Some of you might know them, but here's the background. These verses are written about and by kind of the story of King Solomon. If you don't know who King Solomon is, King Solomon was King David's son, and he was the king after David. King Solomon is the king that built the magnificent temple in Jerusalem. His father, King David, wanted to build it, but God told him, no, your son is going to build it. And so Solomon builds this temple, and as they're getting ready for the opening, the dedication of the temple, Solomon is going through some things. The scripture will tell us he's even praying about it. Now, what's interesting to remember is that the temple in the Old Testament scene, the temple is the place where the presence of God dwelt. In the days of Moses, it was a tabernacle that was movable, and by the time we get to King Solomon, he's built and erected this fancy major temple in honor of Almighty God. And it's in the temple, in a room called the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God would come. And that's why it was so important for them to have such an important temple. Now, thankfully for us today, we don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem to find the presence of God. Because of Jesus coming to earth at Christmas, because of his death and resurrection over Easter weekend that we celebrate, we now have the presence of God with every believer. Every follower of Jesus has the presence of God in their lives with them at all times. We don't even have to go to the highway building to have the presence of God. We have it right here, right now, wherever you are watching or listening to me. Isn't that awesome? Maybe that's why one of the titles of Jesus when he's prophesied that he's coming, and we talk about it at Christmas, which just passed a month ago, that we say that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. We don't go to the temple. The presence of God is with us. But go back now to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. They're about to dedicate the temple, and verses 11 to 14 say this. When Solomon had finished the temple, the temple of the Lord, and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, this is what God says, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, here are words that you might recognize. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If we want to run to win, we need to run to prayer. And so today I want to look at some ways that we can run to prayer. And we start by pray with confidence. It said, if my people who are called by my name. God is describing the children of Israel as his children. That carries on now because, even more so because of Jesus and the cross and the resurrection, that you are the child of God. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are his child. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I don't know how much you know about me, but I have 3 children. They are all now young adults, but it's great. I love spending time with my kids, and my kids are called by my name. Their last name is Colantonio. They are called by my name. They are my children, all of them. When they were little, they would often ask just for assistance. Can I have a snack or can we have some food? When they were really little, sometimes even now that they're young adults, it's like, when are we going to eat? I'm starving. But they're my children. They live in my house. Everything in my home is accessible to them. They don't have to come and ask me or my wife, Sylvie, every time they want to have a snack. Mom, Dad, do we have permission to go into the fridge? Mom, Dad, can we go and visit the pantry? They don't ask those things. Your kids probably don't either if you have kids at home. What do our kids do? They go to the fridge, they open it, and they usually say there's nothing to eat. Right? And they go to the pantry and they eat their snacks. Now, the blessing of young adult kids, by the way, is if we don't have snacks they like, they often go to the store and buy their own. So for those of you younger children, it's coming. Don't worry. But see, they are called by my name. They are my children. They have all the rights to everything that I have. Now, sometimes there are things they have to ask permission for, but they come and they ask with confidence. And that's the same thing it is with you and God. You need to understand that you are a child of God and you can speak to God with confidence. You can come before God with confidence. So you pray with confidence. Another thing, if you're going to run to pray, is you're going to pray with humility. It says, we'll humble ourselves and pray. What is humility? It's so often misunderstood as weakness. It's not. Humility is the absence of pride. It's the opposite of arrogance. It's a virtue that involves a modest self-perception. Now, here's the thing about our human sinful nature. We don't like to ask for help. We often think that asking for help is a sign of weakness, but that's not the case. We need to come to God. And so let me ask it to you this way. I'm going to ask you this question. When problems come, I run towards blank. What fills in the blank for you? When problems come, I run towards others? Do you trust in people, or maybe do you run towards addictions? I mean, sometimes addictions help numb our pain. They help us get through the moment, but really in the long run, they are hurtful, not helpful. Do you run to your emotions? You know, I live my day by how I feel. Well, you see, if you allow feelings to rule you, you're headed down a slippery slope that's not good. Even the Bible warns us against doing that. We run to truth. We don't run by our feelings. Or maybe you run to education. You know, you think knowledge is the answer. Knowledge is the key to things. For instance, have you ever done this? Have you ever not been feeling well? And before you call the doctor, you look up Google? And you put in all your symptoms, and lo and behold, you get your own diagnosis, only to find out sometimes that what you've Googled means you've been dead for the last 10 years, right? Knowledge is not always the key. We don't do that. What is it that you turn to? What is it that fills in your blank? You see, the humble person runs towards God. Go to God for everything, all of your needs. Admit that you need God's help. That's the greatest thing you can do for your life. Don't rely on your own efforts. Don't cut yourself off from the power of God that helps you to overcome. So pray with humility. Run to pray is pray with purpose. God said, and seek my face. Seeking God is an active experience. It's not passive. It's something that you have to go after. Are you actively involved in your prayer life? Is your prayer time purposeful? Do you take time to seek God? You can't expect to see the promises of God if you're not actively seeking God and seeking His promises. So here's some things you can do to be purposeful. Firstly, you can know what you want. Write out what you want God to do for you this year. As this new year is still largely before us, maybe it's time this week as we go through 8 days of prayer as a church that you'll take time to pray and say, God, this is what I'm believing for. It's a good time to be clear about what you want. Write it down. If you have a journal, write down, you know, here is my prayer goals, or here is what I'm praying for this year. Whatever it is you want to run to win at, write it down, date it. There's something that happens when we write it somewhere where we can go back and find it, put a date to it. And maybe it's a time to dream bigger than yourself. Trust God for what God wants to do in your life. So, and then secondly, don't be vague. Pray clear prayers. That's what I'm trying to say. When you're clear and you've written it down, then you're going to be able to know what God did. So maybe in December, you're going to go back and say, in January, these are the things I believe for. Now it's December, and I see how God came through. And you can even journal that and date it and reference it. Because the one thing we want to do as followers of Christ is we don't want to say, this just happened by coincidence. You know, I mean, hey, it kind of just happened. No, we need to remind ourselves that it is God that we're relying on. We pray first. God is our first response, not our last resort. And then when God answers our prayer, we have to be so very careful to give him all the praise and all the glory because he alone deserves it. So let's reiterate where we're at. We pray with confidence. We pray with humility. We pray with purpose. Now we want to pray with repentance and turn from their wicked ways. Now, we have to be very careful here that we don't misunderstand this idea of wicked ways. In a general sense, it's sin, but in a specific sense, it's a lot deeper than that. Sin is always deep. I'm not putting that aside, but wicked ways is a reference to willful, knowledgeable sin in our lives that we're not willing to let go of. It's not the same as a mistake or a stumble or a moment of weakness where we give into a temptation. Wicked ways refers to this willful, habitual sin that a person really is not looking to break away from. And God is telling Solomon and the nation of Israel and even us today that we cannot live in wicked ways. We cannot keep going after willful, habitual, wrongful, hurtful to God types of sin and, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, practices in our lives. We want to break away from that. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us these words, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." See, when we come to God, it's important that we take time to ask for repentance, that we want to make sure our actions and our attitudes are not going against God's word, God's will, or God's thoughts, but that we fall in line with who God is. That's why in 8 days of prayer, tomorrow our theme is repentance, because it's important that as we begin this 8 days of prayer, that we make sure that there's nothing blocking our relationship with God. You see, wicked sin, willful sin, habitual sin that we don't try to break away from blocks our relationship with God. And so as we start 8 days of prayer on day two, tomorrow, our theme is repentance. We want to live clear lives with God. Another thing we do is we pray with faith. Pray with faith. "I will hear from heaven," God says. See, there are no unanswered prayers. We often think there are. I'll explain that in a moment. But God always has an answer to prayer. It's either yes or no or later. Or maybe, same thing. See, God always answers. We just don't always like the answer. Let's be honest, when we come to God with a need or a request, or we're burdened with something or for someone, we always want a yes. We always want God to respond and do it now and do it quick. That's why we're asking. So if God says no, it really takes us aback and we don't like that. Or if God says wait later, we go, no. You know, the problem is not that God's ignoring us. That's not the problem. God always hears us. The problem is we want God to answer in our way, in our time. So when I pray to God for something yesterday, I want God to have answered it yesterday. In fact, the Bible tells us that God knows what I want and what I need before I even ask Him. So part of me says, well, if you already know, why am I asking you? Why don't you just answer? Why? It's my timeline. But that's why it's so hard for us. We need to pray in faith. Isaiah 55:8-9 says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. A no today may be to prepare you for a better yes down the road. See, God knows your future. You don't. You think you do, but you don't. God knows what's around the corner in our lives. God may know that a no today will lead us to a better yes down the road. Praying in faith means that you believe God. You talk to God, you ask God, you trust Him. You know that He hears you. You believe that God has your best interests at heart, and He will not do anything to destroy you, but rather He does everything to care for you. That's faith, and we need to pray in faith. Ephesians 6:18 reminds us about prayer with these words. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Somebody, I don't know who said this, but I found this quote this week. It says, prayer is the most important conversation of your day. Take it to God before you take it to anyone else. That just like our pray first. Go to God first, not as a last resort. It's important to spend time every day talking to God. See, a form and a formula, they're not the goal of your prayer time. The goal of your prayer time is connection. Connection with God is the win. Just as God wants to be in relationship with you, you need to want to be in relationship with Him. Pray in every situation. Pray about every situation. Talk to God about everything. Today, as you've already heard earlier in the service, as a family of faith, as the Highway Church, we are starting 8 days of prayer, and we've prepared that prayer guide for you that you saw earlier, and you can download it off our website. And every day there's a daily theme and a daily scripture and some prayer points for you to begin to pray into to help you. And so I'm challenging you, I'm encouraging you, set aside 15 extra minutes every day this week to say, I'm going to get into a prayer time with God. I'm going to read those scriptures, think about the topic. I'm going to pray over those things. We want to unite our hearts in prayer. We may not be physically united during this 8 days of prayer, but we can be spiritually united as a family of faith. Each day we'll also be posting things on our social media. So I'm going to ask you, if you have any of our social media sites, to look for those, like them, share them, because we want to share the Word of God with the world around us. And it is important that you like and share them. That's the way social media works. As well, our small groups are starting this week with the express purpose of praying over the 8 themes. So every one of your small groups are going to take time and pray over each of the themes. Now, I don't want you to be worried about going to your group if you're not comfortable praying out loud. I promise you, your group leader is not going to force you to do that. They may encourage you. They may ask if you want to participate, but you don't have to. What's really important is that you show up at your virtual small group this week. They're all online. And so do that. Now, if you're in a small group already, your leader should have already reached out to you this week. And if not, if you're not in a small group, what are you waiting for? This is a perfect time. Just go to our website. Just click the big small group button there, and you can see all the groups, see the schedules, and click to join one, and you can jump into a group this week. You won't want to miss that. As well, we're going to take some time to fast during these 8 days of prayer. If you've never fasted, maybe you want to fast half a day or a whole day. And if you're aiming for maybe part of a day or one day, I'm going to ask you to fast with us on Wednesday. If you're used to fasting and you want to go longer, 2 or 3 days, then fast with us from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And just the idea here with those dates is just that we as a church body, as believers, are fasting together at the same time. And remember, when you're fasting, you're not fasting just so you can say, well, I went without food. No, you're fasting for a spiritual purpose, to have a more of a connection with God, to allow your spirit to hear God, to be uncluttered by the things of the world. So encourage you to fast with us. But remember, if you're on doctor's care or if you're taking medications, do not fast without first checking with your doctor. That is key. And then next Sunday night, we're going to have Highway Prayer Night on Zoom at 6 p.m. on the 31st of January. So remember, you can join us there. Running to win looks like running towards God. And running to win requires running to prayer. Maybe you've been listening to me and we've been talking about prayer today and how running to prayer helps us run to win this race of life that God has given us. And as you're watching and listening, you're saying, Pastor, you know, those things are all interesting, but the hardest thing I have is I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know God. I know about God. I know some of the Bible stories. But I don't know God. I want you to know we want to introduce you to God today. And we make it really simple. Pick up your phone if you would right now. Text me the word love to 416-267-1189. And just follow all the prompts that are there. And we will be in touch with you. We will help you as you begin a relationship with God. All you have to do is believe who God is. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. He died so your sins could be forgiven. And Jesus came back to life on the third day. He lives in heaven right now. And he hears and he your prayers and he knows who you are. And we want to invite you to start a relationship with God. Let's pray together.